It is the 14th, and oh my goodness, it's the last week of instruction, and we have a lot to do. Actually, we don't have that. I don't know. You decide. Because we are going to discuss the final chapter of our class, and the final chapter of life, estate planning. But first, when's the final? Next, not this Thursday, but the 23rd. Thursday, what time? 10:40. Is it 10:40? 10:40, yeah, okay, 10:40. So in other words, if you get here on regular time, there'll probably be some people in here, but they'll be leaving. But I'll get here early. There will be general questions on chapters 1 through 11, and specific questions on 12 to 14, and then the real estate investment and alternatives. So stuff we, since the last exam. So general questions on chapters 1 through 13, specific questions 12, 13, 14, real estate and other investment alternatives. 2 pages of handwritten notes, Scantron. You don't really need a calculator, because there's no calculator. Actually, yeah, bring a calculator, because there's the stock calculations. Stock calculations are pretty straightforward, but you definitely need a calculator for those. And then Scantron. And any assignments, that's the last day. Turn them in, any assignments you have. Okay, we passed out the retirement and estate planning handout on Thursday last week. Anybody need one? So Carlos probably, no, he was here. Anybody need one from that? Okay. And then if anybody, last chance for Baffle the Broker. We got a lot from this class, a lot of questions from this class. That was cool. Baffle the Broker, can you pass that back, please? And, okay, who's got a good joke? Anybody got a good joke? No? So, this father has a teenage son who lies a lot, right? So he buys this new robot. And these robots are cool. They can determine when a human is lying. And what they do is they go up and they slap you in the face if you lie. So the father's ready for his son. So they're at dinner, and the father says to his son, "Hey, son, what did you do after school today?" And the son said, "Oh, I went over to Jimmy's and we did our homework." And the robot walks over and slaps him in the face. And the father says, "Okay, what'd you really do?" The son says, "Oh, I went over to Jimmy's and he watched porn." And the father says, "I can't believe it. When I was your age, I never watched porn." And the robot walks over and slaps the father in the face. And the mother laughs and she says, "You are your father's son." And the robot walks over and slaps the mother in the face. The other class didn't like it that much. Is that one of the best jokes? Yeah. They were a little upset. Okay, so the final chapter of life. Now, some of you are going to go, "I'm not going to die anytime soon." That's right. You millennials, as you're called, you digital generation, or you young folks, you're going to be living to 100, 120. Supposedly the first person to live to 150 has been born already. I have a hard time believing that, but we'll see. But even if you're young, you still need to think about estate planning, especially if you have children or a child. But it's, as we say, it's not just for the wealthy. Your estate is a fancy word for everything you own. That's your possessions, your worldly goods. So we call it estate planning. And it's basically the idea of how you're going to administer and distribute your property during your life. Those are called legally gifts. Are you going to give people things while you're still alive? And once you die, that's called an inheritance, a bequeathment. If you own a home or you have children, you need estate planning. Now, nothing in this presentation, listen to me, nothing is meant to be construed as legal advice in the state of California. You understand? I am 3 years of law school and 1 bar exam from being able to give legal advice in California. So don't go to the lawyer and say, "Mr. Brennan says I need a will. Mr. Brennan says I need a trust." Because they won't be happy if I do, because Mr. Piano, an attorney, is he bar certified? Say, "Mr. Piano says I need to talk to an attorney about possibly getting a will or a trust." And they'll say, "Oh, Mr. Piano is very, very wise. $1,000, please." Now, is there a reason why there aren't lawyer jokes? Did we do any lawyer jokes? No. My favorite lawyer joke. What do you know when you see three lawyers up to their necks in concrete? They ran out of concrete. You see, they're up to their necks. And how many lawyer jokes are there, really? No, just two. All the rest are true stories. But before lawyers, how did we deal with disputes? Pistols at dawn, right? Dueling. So I'll pay the lawyer $250 an hour so I don't get shot at. Estate planning includes both building up your estate. That's what we've been discussing. We've been discussing building up your estate and then transferring your estate upon your death. We looked at the distribution phase last Thursday on our investments. We've already done the taxes. Now it's time to do the death thing because death and taxes are the two things that you can't get away from. Most people give little or no thought to putting their personal and financial affairs in order for their family to survive them. Naming a guardian. If you have a child, you really need to talk to a lawyer, folks. Just to name a guardian. You think the person you think is going to want, if you're married, then it's no problem. You know, the spouse gets the child. But if you're not married, or if you have you've been divorced, you need to talk with a lawyer. The demands of daily living can keep people from thinking about death. Plus, do you want to think about a time when you ain't going to be here? Do people want to think about it? They don't want to think about death. You know, they don't even think about it. So they just procrastinate. Because many people do procrastinate until some life-threatening illness or near-death accident scares them into acting. Estate planning is especially important for non-traditional households and businesses. If you're not married or you're in a gay relationship, well, now you can get married if you're same-sex. But if you're not married, you don't get the same protections as people who are married. So you definitely need to talk to a lawyer there. If you're in a business relationship, then you need estate planning for the time. We talked about the insurance on partners. Because if you have a partner relationship and one of the partners passes away, now all of a sudden, what's going to happen to the business? Make sure that's done beforehand. Find a good lawyer. You know, I say this a lot. Find a good lawyer. Should you hire a lawyer or go it alone? What do you think? Hire a lawyer or go it alone? Everyone says. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good answer. It depends on your net worth. It depends. You know, there are situations where you could do it yourself or go to one of these websites, NOLO, Do Your Own Will, H&R Block, Eds, LegalZoom, and not really make a mess for yourself and for your heirs. But what did we say about taking out your own appendix? If you have any kind of situation, and what Carlos says, if your net worth is the Michelob sign that you stole, that's it. You know, that's my major possession. Fine, you know, go ahead, do it. It doesn't matter. But if you have property, certainly, or any kind of investments or anything like that, or if you have children, go see a lawyer. It's going to be expensive. I apologize, but notice that if you just need a will, it's not that expensive in California. But the problem is once your net worth rises, they're going to want you to get a trust, and that ain't cheap. You still see some people advertise $500 for a trust. I don't believe it. I think it's just a come on. It says $495, all complete. Bull. It's not true. Expect to pay $1,000 to $1,500 for the trust, and we'll just discuss the difference between a will and a trust. What does it entail? How are we doing? Create, review, and update your will trust on a regular basis, especially if you get married, divorced, or moved to another state. If this one of these major life events happens, you can create what's called a codicil. Sound like a test question? Codicil. It's a document that is used to amend an existing estate document. But usually, especially if you go to a different state, because California's a little strange, a little different than other states, you're going to want to get a whole new, they'll send you a whole new package of stuff. We're going to discuss the executor and consider creating, managing a trust or trust. Because once you have any kind of assets in California, you're really going to want to talk to a lawyer about a trust. We'll discuss the letter of last instructions, it's not legal, and organize your financial records and documents and let people know where they are. Remember your net worth statement? Y'all did it, right? Y'all did your net worth statement? And you've been updating it, right? The cash flow is more important for the younger folks. But eventually your net worth statement is going to be very important, and so this becomes the planning document. On the net worth statement, you can say all the accounts, where who to talk to, the 800 numbers on the websites, because you're going to need all these things, especially if you got, you know, art collections or car collections. But the financial investments, the home, the real estate, the business interests. So the net worth statement, I have it every quarter or 6 months or something. I think I update it and I give it to my wife and say, okay, if I croak tomorrow, here, there you go. You're on your own now. Now, there are two major documents that you, one of which you're going to get. You're either going to get a will, depending on what the lawyer says, or a trust. The will is the one that you hear most about. It's a legal declaration of a person's mind as to the disposition of his or her property after death. Who gets what? I bequeath to my son these positions. Marriage, divorce are going to affect your will. It may revoke your will depending on your state you live in. If you get married, remarried, divorced, you're going to talk to a lawyer. You're going to do all the thing all over again. And in the state of California, if you only need a will, you shouldn't have to spend more than a couple hundred dollars, $300-$400, depending on your situation. I don't personally recommend it. I'm not saying you should do this. But you, as Carla says, if your assets are not over 100 grand, which is, even if they're close to 100 grand, you should talk to a lawyer. But if you don't have many assets, you should get away with a will, unless you have a kid. And you won't create a legal nightmare for your heirs. Because if you really don't like your heirs, you don't like your snotty-nosed brat kids, oh boy, can you make their life miserable? Oh boy. And one of the best ways is not to have one, not to even have a will. And that just, the lawyers will just eat them alive. Ha ha ha. Okay, because if you don't have a will, you die intestate. Intestate, doesn't that sound a little obscene? He died intestate. Did he have his clothes on? No, it's just a fancy way of saying you die without a will. And if you don't have a will, what happens? You know? The state, your state, the state, your state residence, they give you the will. Well, you're dead. It doesn't matter. So the state distributes your assets according to their rules. And it's very complicated if you have a blended family, kids from a previous marriage. So if you really don't like your heirs, die without a will. Okay? And then let them deal with the aftermath, because they'll curse you forever. They'll curse you. But if you do love your heirs, make sure you talk to a lawyer. Because the bugaboo is probate. Probate court is the evil boogeyman here that many people are going to try to avoid. And this is how they avoid it. They use the trust. But the probate court validates the wills and makes sure your debts are paid, and who gets the money is who gets the possessions. They're the ones who should get the possessions. People are going to try, with the help of a lawyer, to avoid the probate process by using a trust. And there are many trusts, but the most popular one is the living trust, the revocable living trust, the inter vivos trust, as it's called. So, would you now decide who's going to be your executor? If you have a will, you're going to choose an executor. And the executor is the person who carries out the wishes of the will. If you don't name one, the court names one for you. Not necessarily the best alternative. It's a serious responsibility. Choosing an executor is even a more serious task. Consider having co-executors, and your lawyer is going to help you with this. You can have the law firm or a trust company, depending on how many assets you have, to be one of the co-executors, and then your brother or your child or whatever to be the other co-executors. They can do the legwork, running around, getting all the documents, having the things filed, and then the lawyer or the trust company will make sure it's it's submitted correctly. Because they're going to charge, you know, $250 an hour. And you can actually pay your executor. You can set it up so they get $50 an hour and they're not going to curse you. Because what often happens is somebody names their brother and then doesn't make any provision for them to get paid for it. What do you think happens to the executor? What is the executor? The executor now takes your checkbook. They have control of your assets. Now, they're not supposed to run away with this money. They're not supposed to abuse the responsibilities they have. Do you think it happens? Of course it happens. Of course it happens. Their job is to take control of the assets. They get the checkbook, file an inventory of assets and liabilities with the court, sell the assets if necessary to pay liabilities, distribute the assets based on the instructions, and then make it a final accounting to the court. So there are countless stories of abuses of that power. Choose carefully. Again, talk to your lawyer about who will be the executor. If you have children, you want to at least name a guardian. Because don't assume that you think who grandma's going to know. You don't know who's going to get it. And there could be a fight over the child. Which is, if you're a child, can you imagine having your relatives fight over you? I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? It must make the kid feel horrible. But don't assume that the person you think is going to get the child is going to get the child. So be sure the person is willing and able and see if their values. Like my mother passed away almost 5 years ago. And when our son was being raised, she just assumed that she was the guardian. And nothing could be further from the truth. We're not picking up our son and moving him halfway, all the way across the country. So we made somebody else the guardian. And she never found out. She's dead now. Thank you. If she would have found out, she would have been really angry at me. But he's 30 years old now, so what difference does it make? But if you have a child, you need a will to at least name a guardian. Not to be construed as legal advice in the state of California. So that was the will. Make sense? You're going to talk to a lawyer or do it yourself so you don't want to die intestate. Name an executor, guardian. Again, you can do this without talking to a lawyer, but please do. And you go through probate. Now, we're going to put some documents over here which really aren't estate planning. They aren't. Have you heard of a prenuptial agreement? This is something that you create before you get married, which is basically saying, how are we going to dissolve the relationship? Do you think people want to talk about divorce when they're getting married? Well, guess what? If your would-be spouse refuses to even discuss a prenuptial agreement, that's a very bad sign. So, you know, what's the most important financial decision you're going to make? Who you marry, so make sure you have some kind of way to make the dissolving of the marriage easier. Especially if you have any kind of assets. Now, California is a community property state, so that means anything you acquire before the marriage is both of yours. And so that can make life, you know, miserable or easy, depending on your situation. But anything before that is supposed to be that individual's persons. But if you've been married long enough, they might say, oh, no, you know, you had that house beforehand, but you've been married, you know, 20 years. It's both of your houses now. Talk to the lawyer. And don't say, I didn't warn you. A living will is not a will. In fact, you don't hear it called that much anymore. Now you're hearing it called, I don't have it up there. Now you're hearing it called the advance directive. And this, again, you don't really need a lawyer for this. In fact, our directive, I can't spell, that's the word, directive. We have a paralegal program here. And the paralegal club, every once in a while, will be handing these things out. You just fill it out, make sure two witnesses sign it. And this is the don't pull the plug or pull the plug document. You know what we're talking about? What is it? It's not up here. If you wind up in a persistent vegetative state, isn't that a great way of saying they're brain dabbing? A persistent vegetative state. Then if you have an advance directive, they can pull the plug. Some states, it's a lot harder than others. My mother, when she was passing away, she didn't have this advance directive. And so she was pulling the thing out of her. It was pretty scary. She kept pulling the ventilator out of her. They gave her these mitts. They gave her these mitts so she wouldn't pull them out. And the it's, you know, end of life. The minister comes and knocks on the door, wants to talk to us from the hospice. And he asked how we're doing and all the spiritual crap. And he looked at her as he was about ready to leave. He said, look, I grew up on a farm in West Pennsylvania. And we don't treat our animals this badly. So that's when I called the doctor. I said, this is ridiculous. She's pulling the ventilator out. She wants to die. Will you let her die? Because she wasn't going to get better. And the doctor said, you can't pull that out. Dad, you can't. I'm not pulling it out. She is. And she goes, okay, here's what you do. And so we killed her. We basically killed her, given the doctor said it was okay, basically. We were giving her morphine every 3 hours, one droplet. She said, give her 2 droplets every hour. As soon as we did that, she went like this. And she was out of it. So we kept talking to her. But within a couple of days after that, she passed away. Pretty scary. So if you have an advance directive, will you have to go through that when you're dying? No. If she had the advance directive, the doctors would have said, fine, let her go. Let her go. Sick, but that's the world we live in. Oh, by the way, it requires careful thought? No, it's a no-brainer. Life's a terminal disease. You got to laugh, right? Now, power of attorney. How many people anybody in the military? Anybody in the military? When you go on assignment, you go wherever. Yeah, what do they do? What does the commanding officer hear? Here.
Yeah.
Sign this. So that when you're somewhere in Iraq or Diego Rivera or whatever, and you want to sell your car or something, somebody can do it for you. You're basically giving them your checkbook. Or it can be very specific. They have control over my car. They can sell my car when I'm away. So you want to be careful, right? Basically like the executor. The durable power of attorney for healthcare is the same idea, but allows them to make healthcare decisions on your behalf if you're incapacitated. The lawyer, when you create a will or a trust, especially a trust, they will give you the power of attorney. They'll throw it in with the package. Because, again, you can download this on your own, $20 or free. I don't recommend it, but people do it. And now the letter of last instruction is not a legal document. This is just something you can create, give to your loved ones. And these are things that you wouldn't really want to put in the will. For example, you have this lamp and your niece loves it or something like that. Instead of putting it in the will and having to deal with it at $250 an hour, you just say, give the lamp to my niece, all right? Or what are my funeral preferences? But my wife says, you better spend a lot of money on good food. That's all she says. Don't get fast food. What's inside? Where do you find certain things? But again, it's not a legal document. The courts doesn't care. The lawyers don't care. It's just to make life a little bit easier. So finally, these things are sort of thrown in there with the mix. But here's the biggie. This is the biggie, especially in states like California, a trust. Sound like a test question. A trust is a legal arrangement through which a trustee holds your assets for your benefit or for that of your beneficiaries. So it's this legal thing. It's this entity that you create with documents. The legal world, it is then created. And the trustee takes care of your assets. Now, in some trusts, you're your own trustee. Huh? That's the living trust. You're still alive. The trust then distributes your assets to your heirs from the trust after you die. But wait a minute. If you're your own trustee and you're dead, how are you going to do that? What happens is, after you pass away, you appoint a successor trustee. So that's similar to the executor. They get the checkbook. They get in charge. They're in charge of everything that's going on. And they're the ones whose job it is to make sure that the heirs get the money and get their possessions and anything's paid off. And like, now what happens here? You create this thing, and it's just basically filing documents in the county courthouse, county admin building. And now it's this entity. It's this trust, this legal thing. Then you pick up all your assets, or the most important ones, like your house, and you put it into the name of the trust. You've taken it out of your name, and it's in the name of the trust. Now, the trust usually has your name on it. The Nicole Auditor Living Trust. So they know whose it is, right? And they look at the paperwork and they say, okay, Nicole's the one who created it. So it's her house. But it's not in her name. It's in the trust. Now, why would you want to do this? You do it to avoid probate so that it doesn't go through the probate process. And we'll see why in a little bit, why you'd want to do that. Some states you don't care. California and a few other states, you do care. Now, here's the problem. Here's what happens. People go online, they read about, they download the documents, maybe they paid $39.95, and then they fill out the paperwork, go down to the county admin building, submit the paperwork, pay the fee, whatever it is, $81 or whatever it is, and they go, cool, I'm done. No, they didn't fund the trust. That's what you hear the lawyers say. Well, did you fund the trust? No, they never picked up the assets and put them in the name of the trust. Are you with me? What you just did was useless. You created a trust, but you didn't put the assets in the trust. Your estate, you're dead, you know, your estate. But your estate's going to go through probate. Are you with me, understand? It doesn't sound like it's that difficult. And if you do it right, it isn't. But if you do it wrong, you can really screw things up, folks. You can make it so that you can't pick it up and bring it out of the trust. And you no longer have control over your assets. So as we say here, trusts are tricky. Some people create them for themselves. You can do this, but if you screw up, your actions can result in outcomes that typically range from useless. You don't bother funding the trust. You don't put the assets in the trust. Or potentially disastrous, where you have just a situation where you're no longer in control of your assets. So are you going to do it yourself? No? Yes. Yeah, most people, the house. Once you start building up assets in your investment accounts and the like, or maybe you have some rental properties or something like that, the magic number is $100,000. Once you have assets of $100,000, not net assets, but gross assets of $100,000, then you can talk to a lawyer about getting a trust in the state of California. So in other words, anybody who owns a house needs a trust. And a lot of people don't have it. They don't understand what they're setting themselves up for. But they're not setting themselves up for it. They're setting their heirs for it. You see? They don't care. They're dead. If you really hate your heirs, don't bother. Save some money. Don't bother. They're the ones that have to deal with it. Okay? Okay. So what are the possible benefits? The possible, but not the possible, we talk to a lawyer, but the big benefit is you'll get to avoid probate. You skip the probate court. It can reduce your state taxes, but state taxes for most people are not an issue. It frees you from managing the assets, or as we saw, you can be the trustee of your own trust. You manage the assets. You can provide income for a surviving spouse or other dependents. Trusts can be extremely beneficial for people whose children or grandchildren are either disabled or emotionally unprepared for a windfall inheritance. We'll talk about windfalls a little bit. But I have a friend who at age 18 was, I forget how much he was like $800,000 he inherited because his parents died while he was still a minor. And when he turned 18, it's all his. How long did you think it took him to go through it?
2 years.
Three. It took him 3 years to go through the $800,000. And he said, boy, I wish I was not stupid when I was 18. And he's like, oh, well, it's gone. So that's what a trust can be very helpful for. Okay, so here are just some of the different types of trusts. Look at all these things. Do you know which ones you want? This is the one you want. The revocable living trust. Or their cousin, the AB trust, depending on your assets. That means it's basically two trusts, A and B. But would you know which ones? If you do the wrong trust, you're screwed. It's royally screwed. Because some of these are irrevocable. That's why we call this the revocable living trust. You can pick up the assets and move them out of the trust. You can move them back in again. Whereas some of these, irrevocable, sorry, it's in there, you can't touch it. What do you think this one's for? This one's pretty easy. Yeah, not my kids. I want my grandkids to get them. Screw the kids, let the grandkids get it. That's what that one is for. What is this one for? What's a spendthrift?
Someone spends a lot.
Yeah, you would think it's somebody who doesn't spend a whole lot. A spendthrift is somebody who spends everything. So in this trust, they would normally, and you can do the same thing in a living trust, they would normally set up something where the child is maybe turns 18. Now it's owed money, right? But in the trust, you can say they can get 5% a year or 10% a year out. Or the trustee, who wouldn't be the child, obviously, because now they're a grown-up, and they still are not a grown-up. They're 18 years old. They're still young, and they don't want to give them $1.2 million. The successor trustee can then give them money depending if they... Yeah, they have a great opportunity to go around the world with this whatever. They might give them more than 10%. But then usually when they turn 30, then it's their money. They can do whatever they want with it. And this is a cute little story because I ride with bikes with a bunch of other guys. And this one guy's pretty wealthy, but he's really cheap. And so he keeps – I don't know how we got on the topic because I guess he asked if we teach this. I said, yeah, well, we teach it in one of our – I keep telling him I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I mean, this is what I know. They kept asking me all these questions, and they were pretty directed questions about a trust and his adult children, and the one adult child is an alcoholic, lives on the street, sometimes in and out of rehab. And so I kept saying to him, I said, you know, George, that's not his real name, you need to talk to a lawyer. And another woman who rides with us is a doctor, and she said, George, he told you need to talk to a lawyer. Stop asking Frank all these questions. And he goes, I'm not going to pay those lawyers. They wanted $3,000 to do it. And I, that's it. Shut up. I'm not saying another word. And he did do it himself. And I said, did you fund the trust? He goes, of course I did. I'm not stupid. I said, okay, fine. But that's what he needed. Because the one son, if you give an alcoholic who lives on the streets, $100,000 or $200,000 or in this case probably $1 million. You give them $1 million. What are they going to do? They're going to drink as much alcohol as they can find and die, right? So, yeah, no. So go see a lawyer. Now, here's California. Revocable living trust, AB trust. Very common, used to avoid probate. If you're a California resident who owns property, has any substantial net worth, your estate will most likely benefit from some sort of living trust. Not to be construed as legal advice in the state of California. As we said, you see these ads, $500, $495, everything complete. I don't believe them for a second. Figure you're going to spend at least $1,000 to $1,500. Don't do your own trust. Why? If you screw up, your actions can result from outcomes that range from useless, typically, to disastrous. Yeah. So here, this is what we're talking about. This is why we want to avoid probate. Let's say your home is worth $400,000. Now, we're not talking about what your mortgage is on the home. We're just talking if you could sell it for $400,000. The minimum probate fee for a few hours of work most of the time is $22,000. That's the minimum. Who gets it? Lawyers, right? I'm glad you said that. Lawyers get it. If you have a really nice house, so you see what they're doing? They got us over a barrel. I mean, Shakespeare said this 400 years ago. He said, the first thing we do when we get in power, kill all lawyers. Because what they're doing is they're charging you $1,000, $2,000 while you're alive so they won't charge your heirs $36,000 when you die. Are you with me? That's the reason why we have trust so popular. And I can't tell you, if you ask people, ask them if they have a trust. They'll go, what? I know a lot of people who I can't get convinced them that they need a trust. But maybe they hate their heirs. One of the guys here died with a very nice house, and his son wound up having to pay somewhere around here, $36,000 when he inherited the house. Okay. Now, you'll hear about the federal estate tax. The Republicans like to call it the death tax. Remember back when we talked about taxes, there's a tax on wealth? Well, not in the United States until you're dead. And even then, it is very, very few people. Very few people. A tiny percentage of the people. And that's called the estate tax. Some states have an inheritance tax, not California. But that's a different, that's the state. We don't deal with that. California doesn't have it. But if you give, and I think we're still up to $15,000. I don't think it's going over. If you give more than $15,000 to anybody, you can give up to $15,000 to as many people as you want every year. If you're married, double that because you're two people. You don't have to pay any gift tax. But if you give more than $15,000, you have a choice. You, the person who gave the item or the money or the whatever the worth, can pay a gift tax. Or you can reduce your one-time federal exclusion for the estate tax, which doesn't affect you until you die. Hang on a minute. Stick with it. We talked about tax avoidance versus tax evasion. If you're in this rarefied air, and we'll see numbers, people over $11 million, you'll have some agents, life insurance agents, who want to sell you life insurance products to get around the estate tax. And the problem is you might succeed, but you won't know because you'll be dead. The IRS will come after your heirs if they find it. Most people, these people are very, very wealthy. They're not stupid, usually. Many of them are, like President Putin. But if you talk to a good lawyer, they're going to help you reduce your taxes so that you won't pay a dime in estate taxing. Because what they do, the Republicans, every once in a while, they find some imbecile who's really anti-government, doesn't want to talk to lawyers, and the value of their farm has skyrocketed. And then when he dies, they have to sell the farm because he didn't talk to a lawyer. If they had talked to a lawyer, they would have found a way to get around that and let the heirs own the farm. But it doesn't matter. Because here it is, folks. In 2017, the exclusion was almost $5.5 million. What does that mean? The first $5.5 million you can bequeath to your heirs with no taxes. Now, if you gave one of your heirs, say, $100,000, you don't have to pay the gift tax. You could, or you just lower this by $100,000. So you just make a little, find a little document, okay, I've lowered my exclusion. But in the tax bill we talked about, the Republican tax bill at the end of 2017, they wanted to get rid of the estate tax, and one senator stopped them. The one, Susan Collins from Maine, she said, no, don't do this. I'm not going to vote for it unless you do it. So they bumped it up to double this, $11 million, right? And now it goes up with inflation. So if you have this many assets or more, your estate is going to be subject to the estate tax. So I think it starts at 30-some, 33, and it goes up to 40%. Do you understand? How many people are going to get hit with this? And if you're married, double it, right? If you're married, that's two people. $23,600,000. How many people? Well, it turns out about 1,900 out of the 2.7 million people who are going to die this year are affected by it. And if they're smart, they've done things to get rid of it. They've done things to move everything into a trust, give it out of the way. You've heard of Warren Buffett, right? And Bill Gates. And did I give you the Microsoft joke? I think I did. Yeah, I did. I did the Microsoft joke. We got a great joke on Thursday. End of semester joke. And it's a useful joke. So make sure you don't miss the joke on Thursday. It's very useful, especially if you go to the university. And so, I mean, I like what Warren Buffett said. This guy's worth tens of billions of dollars, right? He said, look, I want to bequeath to my children enough money so they can do whatever they want to do, but not so they can't do anything. They can just sit around and do nothing. I want to make sure that they work. And I love that. I think that's great. You know, if you want to start a business, son, here, I'll put the money, start the business, but get your ass out there and work. And I love this guy. This guy, I supposedly it's Alberto Moravi. I don't know who he is, but it's also attributed to Charles Lindbergh. Our ideals, laws, and customs should be based on the proposition that each generation in turn becomes the custodian. You know what custodian means, right? Caretaker. The custodian rather than the absolute owner of our resources. You don't really own anything because you can't take it with you. Each generation has the obligation to pass this inheritance on to the future. I like that. Now, we're in a different culture now with President Putin, Kim Jong-un. Agent Orange, he wants to own everything, right? He wants to own everything, and he doesn't want to give it up. He wants to take it with him. He wants a U-Haul. So think about that, folks. And how many people do you think any of us are going to be in that situation? I don't know. Hey, start a business. Make the next farce book or titter. You might be there. You might be there. And the same thing is Gates. Says the same thing. He's been giving away his fortune for decades now, right? A couple decades. And Warren Buffett, while his wife was alive, he said, look, my wife's into the philanthropy. While I'm alive, I'm going to make as much money as I can. And then when I kick the bucket, because there's always going to be a need, right? There's going to be nonprofits. There's always going to be a need for charity. While I'm alive, I'm going to make as much money as I can, and my wife can distribute it when I die. She passed away before he did. So he said, okay. I'll start giving it away now. He's been giving it away now the last about 7-8 years. Speaking of inheritance, the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world will begin shortly. Over the next 50 years, $41 trillion will pass through the three generations. If these people don't do anything, and which of course they will, there'll be $6 trillion in taxes. But they're going to do something. If they're smart, they're going to do something. And 2/3 of it will go to people who are already wealthy. So are you going to get any? Me neither. So, well. But if you are one of the lucky ones, here is the advice for dealing with a windfall. You suddenly receive $3 million or $800,000 or $1.2 million, and you think you're now one of the rich and wealthy. You're set for life, right? No, not really. The average Joe or Jane lottery winner whose life was ruined by winning the lottery has become a cliche. And this woman, I wish I would have saved it too. It was a radio program. Now it's called Marketplace Money, but it used to be called Sound Money. And they interviewed people who won the lottery. And I forget how much she won, but it was several $100,000. I think she was 27 when she won. She was a secretary. She quit her job. She took all her friends to Disneyland for a week, $45,000. Spent it all. And she said, it was a fun 3 years. Had to go back to work. Now, as we saw, right, as we saw, if she had invested it wisely, she could have $2,000 or $3,000 a month rising income for the rest of her life. Oh, well. So, what do you do? Change your lifestyle very little. Be careful of acquiring a sense of responsibility for friends and family or even strangers, because the first thing out of your friends and your kids or your brother and sister, how much are you going to give me? They will expect you to share your windfall with them. Put it away for 6 months. Don't even look at it. Find a trusted financial advisor. Whatever you do, realize this is it. This is the one and only inheritance you will receive from dear Grant and Trudy. Don't screw under it. Cool? Anybody think they're going to get a big inheritance? I gave my card. So here's the final instruction regarding estate planning. And for Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management for Spring 2019, what do you think the final instruction is regarding estate planning? Go see a lawyer. Get a good reference. I have a very good lawyer who does estate planning. She did ours. And so that's it, dear students. We are done the class. Now, any comments, any thoughts, any criticisms? In this culture, what's power? What's power in the United States of America? Money. And so I consider myself the luckiest person in the world because I get to teach you how to build wealth and so that you will become powerful. And many of you come from a history of people who weren't treated well and did not have the power. And so I'm basically a subversive. So I love teaching people who are traditionally not, what's the word, represented in the power elite, to become one of them. And I hope you do, because I'll subvert the world. And so here's your chance to evaluate me. I use these. I have in the past. I don't know what I'm going to do now, because I'm retiring. I'm going to be retired. Retired! Yeah. Oh, I gave you an extra one?
Yeah, I gave you some of these, but I didn't have
one. Okay. Oh my goodness, this is an assignment. Oops. This is an assignment. So, as I said, I'm retired. I'm going to be retiring. But I'll be back. They let us come back after either 6 months or a year. I think it's going to be a year. We'll find out. And teach one or two classes. So I love torturing students. Teaching students. And as I said, I want you all to be very, very wealthy. But more importantly, I want you to be happy. Happy with what you have and who you have. Because even Warren Buffett says, the most wealth comes from the people you love you. Okay, cool. So now I'm going to sound like a silly man. But no comments, criticisms, suggestions? So here, these are very useful for me. I do not look at them until about 2 or 3 weeks after I've turned in the grades. So don't think it's going to help your grade. Don't think it's going to hurt your grade. I ain't going to look at these for about more than two weeks or so. Early mid-June. And so, what did you like about the class? What did you not like about the class? So very simple. How could the class be improved? What would you like to see more of? Any other comments? And what are three concepts, techniques, terms, whatever, that you believe will actually help you in this crazy, scary, bizarre, joyful, sad, absurd adventure that we call life? Cool? So once you have filled this out, turn in your assignments too. You can turn all assignments in. You're free to go. I'm letting you go early. Do you mind? I'll stick around. I don't want you to feel like you're being cheated. You know, you paid, $146, something like that? $46 per... Yeah, I know. 46 bucks a minute. So you paid money, good money for this class. So I want to make sure you don't get cheated out of your education. And I'll stick around the whole time. Turn in all your assignments, even if they're late. On Thursday, we'll do Baffle the Broker. So you've asked me a lot of good questions. Some of it's review, and some of it I hope you'll answer. And then we'll review whatever questions you have about the final. Thank you so much. What a great class. What a great class. Yay! Well done. How many did we start with? We started with 49. And we lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, basically. Started with 49 and we're down to 34. Now, I'm not proud of that, but I'm proud of you for sticking with us. And if you show up on the final, you get 6 attendance points. That's if you miss a class before the final, you don't have enough time to build it back up again. So you get a week and a half if you just show up for the final. How's that? Is that cool? Mauricio, Marco, Celaya? No. Arturo, no. Raquel, no. Daniela, C. Giovanna, no. Mark Christian, Carlos Martinez, yes. Guillermo, no. Kenya, yes. Tara, I'm gonna drop Tara. She a few weeks ago. Okay, so we'll turn this thing off.